Subscribe to the Leafs Hour podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Streak over. It was upside down night in Detroit. Leafs winning at 5-2. The final at Little Caesars Arena, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation post game underway right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga, joined alongside Gord Stellick. And more positivity, I would say, coming out of this one tonight, Gord.
Yeah, it really was. You know, two things, Nick, I noticed. It seemed like there was a bit of a sense the old Toronto-Detroit games, right? That old rivalry, which hasn't been there for a long time. Mainly because one team generally wasn't very good, or maybe both teams generally weren't really good. But with the Red Wings improving, kind of nice. I kind of felt that buzz, and used to being them back in the same conference like they've been for the last few seasons. But, Nick, you said to me, just this is before the final came in and the Leafs got a two-goal lead and what happened at the end. What do you think? You said, I think Mike Babcock will think this is a great game. And this is probably a game, I have no idea what Mike Babcock dreams about. I really don't want to know. But I think a game like this, that third and fourth lines, really on both sides, but particularly on the Toronto Maple Leafs side, like, wow, it was all about the GOAT and the new guys. And how about the guys that we thought were banished in purgatory up in the press box, and he decided to put them back in. I don't remember many wins like this at all the last year or two or three. And that was the big theme tonight, about the third and fourth lines just dominated.
Legitimately, if there were a Picasso in Mike Babcock's world, the perfect hockey game, it would be your plugs going to work. And that's exactly what we saw in this one. I think you're totally right. Like, in this incarnation of this Maple Leaf squad, I cannot remember a time where the top six was as flat, or maybe it's Detroit being effective defensively, whatever it is, as flat as they were in this game, and the bottom six carrying this hockey team the way they did in this game.
And by the way, one more thing, Mike Babcock, he does like to win back in Detroit because they love to give him the gears as well. But it's the other sign about it, okay, as we look to game number 83 and onwards, is obviously if you're going to have any success in the playoffs, these are the lines that have to improve. Like, you've got to improve everything, but it becomes a four-line playoff along the way. So if this is a sample of, especially the new guys, like just, that they're able to play at that level. Then the other thing is, Freddie Gauthier, Nick Antropov's a guy that was a slow developer. And, quite often, Nick, you get lumped in because you get picked in the first round of these expectations. Nick was picked in the top 10, so there were higher expectations that way. But after a number of years, he became like a serviceable NHL player, never a guy that was on your first line. And the GOAT, who I just had put into whatever GOAT farms there were out there for good, like, he's seems to have improved his skating. His hands on a couple of plays, like, all kidding aside, just the confidence level, and Mike Babcock giving him that confidence, and a big, big part of giving that confidence is a big reason he's playing so well.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation post game, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Plenty ahead over the next hour. Luke Fox will join us from Little Caesars Arena, of course, a Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca, to break down this one, a 5-2 win for the Maple Leafs, again, spearheaded by the bottom six, and that was a theme on both sides of the ice. Detroit's fourth line went to work in this game. But I think you're totally right in bringing up Frederick Gauthier. Certainly a guy that we haven't noticed as much, and that's for a good thing because I think he continues to grind away. He's been a fixture on that fourth line with the interchangeable other guys coming in. Of course, Patan and Spezza leaving the lineup. Shore and Timoshov coming into the lineup. And he just goes about his business. And certainly you look at players who had seemingly impressive off seasons. I think you look at Gauthier. He's been really, really strong out of the gates.
Yeah, just exactly that case. And the other part is that, okay, fourth lines, I appreciate what they do. I appreciate quite often they're thrown there as an energy line, just for a short shift. And, quite often, we had one earlier in the season when he put them on right after a goal. Leafs scored a goal, and the goal was scored against. And I don't think it was these guys, but just, those are the kind of things you don't want to see out of a fourth line. But they do need to get some points at some point. Like, I at the end of the season, I'm sorry, I can't buy into it if you're saying that, our fourth line plays a certain role, but they get zero. Okay, at some point, they got to get a little bit. And tonight, they got a lot.
So how would you answer the question about this one from a top six perspective? Because this has been a theme, and you made a great point when we were watching this game earlier tonight, just more so the fact that there hasn't been a game where all the big boys have showed up offensively for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Was it more so Detroit having a strong game plan and strategy to shut those guys down, or do they need they still need more from these guys?
Yeah, well, you know, the Red Wing big line didn't. They've been a one-line team in a lot of ways, so it was kind of curious that way. So I think to put it in context and perspective, the big players for the Leafs will always be the big players. So there's no. So I don't worry about them.
Yeah.
But did they not show up tonight? And have they had kind of pedestrian starts in some cases? Yeah, that's accurate. So the upside is, they won a game when these guys didn't factor at all. And then that's the huge kind of thing in a bit. And that's why Mike Backpack's loving this.
Yeah.
That, you know, that the other guys, they won a game and those guys didn't fast. Not about Austin Matthews getting a hat trick or John Tavares getting a hat trick. Mitch Marner really is the guy that's got to get going right now, whatever. And I'm confident they all will get going. But I just, man, it just like it wasn't a bad game. It was like even regardless of who got the goals, you know, being Babs' favorites, it was. I think you would have been happy, like not giving up that first goal, man. They're giving up a goal early far too often. They did that again tonight. But then after that, it was kind of a good road game in a lot of ways from the four lines, even though the offensive guys weren't really getting any offense.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I noticed as well. The fact that, again, for the fourth time in six games, Gore, to start this season, the Maple Leafs surrendering a goal in the first 5 minutes. And it just makes me laugh every time, because what's one of the many cliche things that Mike Babcock always says? Start on time. And for some reason, they're not doing it right now.
Yeah, you know, start on time doesn't just mean show up there for 7:08 p.m. It means like at 7:11 or 7:12. Yeah, you know, and the again, it wasn't a great Freddie Anderson play. The difference, though, Freddie Anderson bouncing back after a real bad game the other night and having a great game. Like, this is one of those games that we talk about so often that I don't care what the stats are about Freddie. And that, again, that first goal wasn't a strong goal by the goaltender, the goal against. He had a great game. He came up with the big saves. And, you know, later on when we play our, you know, highlight call of the game that makes it 2-1, before that, there's a big save. Like, it almost could be 2-1 for the Detroit Red Wings. And Freddie makes a big save, and they come and the Leafs come back and take a 2-1 lead and never look back.
Certainly a lot of positives to gain from this game tonight. The fourth line, the third line, very solid. Alex Kerfoot, a big-time goal. And again, when you can carry the slack, especially when your top guys, your top performers are not producing the way you'd like them to produce, I think it's always a bonus for Mike Babcock. And surely everything that transpired in the last week, especially that game against Tampa again, and we'll hear from Mike Babcock a bit later on here on Leafs Nation postgame, just more so, I think, the positivity that's going to come out of a game, just getting a win and being, I think, a bit better defensively in this one.
Yeah, and the you know, one thing I do always say is we had to get retrained with these teams that win now again because it's been so long. But being a little picky, this is great to get your road wins. Last year, the Leafs were third in the NHL on the road record. But, you know, make Scotiabank Arena and what was Air Canada Center, make it a house of pain. Make it a tough place to come in. Make it have that mystique, you know, and have that for the playoffs, hopefully. So, again, a great game against the St. Louis Blues they lost, and a great half game against the Tampa Bay Lightning that they lost. So, you know, just at some point, you know, try to get those home games in as far as it goes with some W's, and maybe they'll get a chance to do that next week.
Leafs taking it 5-2, the final at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, and that's where we go right now. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick on Leafs Nation postgame. We bring in Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. Luke, what was sort of the theme, the trend of what Mike Babcock was saying postgame here?
Well, he was just, you know, giving praise to his bottom six. You know, he said that he never used his fourth line at all the way he did this year, or last year, the way he did on a night like this. You know, he gave that bottom group led by Freddie Gauthier, you know, tons of ice time, some big shifts in the defensive zone. And he said that, you know, he could never trust the reading between the lines. He said he could never trust the fourth line quite like he can now. And it speaks a lot, you know, about the maturation of Freddie Gauthier, but also some nice performances by Nick Schor and Dmitry Timoshov, who have been in and out of the lineup all season. So big nights for those guys. And then the third line was just absolutely remarkable. You know, all three of them each getting a goal. And you consider the ways that line was assembled. You got an undrafted product in Trevor Moore, who's kind of, you know, scrounged his way up from the farm system. You got Alex Kerfoot, who was kind of the secondary piece in the Nazem Kadri trade. All the attention was on Tyson Barrie. And then you got the soup lover, Ilya Mikheyev, who just turned on the Jets, chased down that Kapanen lob. And, you know, I think Jimmy Howard didn't realize how fast this Russian kid is. because he got the puck first and slipped it in the empty net. So a pretty remarkable performance by the bottom six.
Now, Nick and I were kidding just before the end of the game, just to your point, what Mike Babcock was talking about. We said, you know, a lot of Leaf fans, and they'll have Tavares and Matthews and Marner sweaters, so they'll come from a game and they'll want to talk about, like, say, a hat trick by one of those players. Not that we want to guess what Mike Babcock dreams about, but this is like a dream game for him. This is exactly what he and most coaches love, your third and fourth lines being the guys, not just doing it two-way, but also getting some props and getting some cookies and getting some well-deserved points.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarro town. Like, the formula was supposed to be the bottom six gets a soft with the other team's bottom six, and the Leafs stars outshine the Red Wings stars. But the Red Wings come in with one of the hottest lines in hockey, and Bertuzzi, Mantha, and Larkin, they get blanked out. You know, the Matthews, Marners, and Tavares of the world can't really get much going. And it's the fourth line from both teams that kind of steal the show on a Saturday night. You know, who would have thought we'd see the GOAT there with a Hockey Night in Canada towel draped around his shoulders? He says that's the first one ever. You know, it might be his last, but let's hope not for the guy. And he said, oh, he's keeping it. He's keeping it. I asked him. He wants to keep that thing.
I think he's been quite the revelation. And again, you know, finding storylines is sort of easier this time of year and early in a hockey season. But just the improvements are very, very true so far in what we've seen from Frédéric Gauthier. I think he's been sort of one of Toronto's more consistent players. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, he's the only member of that fourth line that's played every game. And he's certainly had the coach's trust. And one of the things is Babcock's such a big face-off guy, and Gauthier has been a beast in the dot. I didn't check his final stats, but I knew after two periods he'd won all five of the face-offs he'd taken. And that's important to the coaching staff, you know, that they really stress gaining possession of the puck early, and especially, you know, that's the line that often starts in the defensive zone because they want the big guns out for the O-zone draws. So those are key plays. You know, it's not sexy, but it's important, especially to the guys who decide who goes in the lineup and who doesn't. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, is this guy essentially a first-round bust? But he's just stuck with it, plugged away through injuries, through healthy scratches, through demotions. And he's establishing himself as a really good fourth liner in the NHL. So all the credit to him. He's put in a lot of hard work.
Now, Luke, is watching the game as well, and I was observing to Nick that, and, you know, it's hard to quantify, just kind of a vibe, but I said, you know what, this seems like the Toronto-Detroit rivalry is revving up a bit. And I know a lot of it was back in the old Norris division, which wasn't a very good division, but it was a real bitter rivalry. There was some real strong playoff series. I mean, the Nicky Borshevsky goal remains like a huge, huge Leaf moment. And then they got in the different conferences for a while. And then the Red Wings, finally, they're back in the same conferences. And, you know, one team wasn't good for a while, or two teams weren't good. And now, with the Red Wings improving and the Leafs where they are, I just got a sense tonight a little more for the first time in quite a while just about that old-time original six rivalry that did exist.
Yeah, and let's hope it continues. You know, I was talking to some people who, reporters who cover the Red Wings on a daily basis today, and they said, you know, there's a lot of excitement about the farm team and the youth movement that they have here, and guys are finally coming. You know, we're seeing guys like Cronwall move on, and they're kind of finally turning the page on that core that couldn't miss the playoffs if they tried, and getting some young blood in there. And what I like to see is how fast they play. They play with pace. You know, of course, the Leafs kind of ran away with this one towards the end, but for the most part, they were running right up and down the ice with Toronto, and they needed that. I think they needed that reset to bring a bunch more youth into the system and adapt to today's game, which is a much, much faster one. And then they still have guys, Phil Pala and, a few others. I know Cromwell's still hanging around the team. They still have some voices of veteran leadership hanging around. But it's kind of something that's been necessary, you know, bringing in some youth. And who knows, you know, maybe in a couple of years this team will be right up there contending in this division along with Toronto.
Chatting with Luke Fox, a 5-2 win for the Maple Leafs at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stelica. The winless streak now conclude at three games. I wanted to get your thoughts on Morgan Rielly. In my opinion, trying to do maybe a bit too much the last couple games. Is that the way you see it as well?
I think I agree. I think he's had a couple costly mistakes the last couple games, and you get the sense that he's trying to make up for it a little bit. You know, that if he makes a mistake in the defensive zone, he's trying to make it up and maybe make a goal happen in the offensive zone and pinching, trying to be that fourth forward. And, it's been a little bit odd. And I think what's happened is, you know, most people have kind of taken it easy on him because his body of work was so good last year. And we know he's a guy that is kind of constantly on the rise. So it's been a little bit odd to see him stumbling, and maybe some of that is just getting used to having a new defense partner in Cody Ceci. He certainly struck a level of comfort with Ron Hainsey, so maybe that's part of it, or maybe it's just the added pressure on the team overall and the high expectations that are put on them, and maybe he's trying to match his ridiculous point total and goal total of a year ago, and maybe he's putting on some pressure on himself that way. But yeah, I would have to agree. I feel like he hasn't been as sharp as he can be in his own zone, and maybe he's trying to make up for it a little bit when he does have the puck.
Well, lucky for Morgan Rielly, there's plenty of hockey still to be played here in this regular season. Luke, thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
All right, have a great night, guys.
You as well. That's Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. And that's the one thing, Gord, I think we do forget is how much turnover there has been in this roster and how many guys truly haven't played together very much.
Well, and you know, you go years ago about Jeff Beauchemin playing with Brian Leetch. Like,
yeah.
You don't, and how much when he got a career-ending injury that it affected Brian Leetch. And you don't think of pairings as much. And Morgan Rielly, he's not picky. I mean, he played on a bad Leaf team, and he's just constantly improved every year. And it's, you know, it ain't working with Cody Ceci. And it doesn't mean it's Cody Ceci's fault, whatever. But right now, it isn't working for Morgan Rielly that way. And Ron Hainsey, I really appreciated what he brought to the
Dance. You're a big Hainsey guy and you're a big Gardner guy, yes.
Now, but you know what? The other day, the guy had the most ice time for Ottawa was Nikita Zaitsev by a mile. That one I don't see. Yeah, no, but
no.
But with Morgan Rielly, and then the next part comes into Nick. You know, he gets that year last year. It's not a contract year, so it's not that. But he elevated his game, so he knows what he can do. And now he's sort of carrying what, you know, freelancing a bit more, but probably pressing, trying a little bit too hard to make up that they're, you know, we'll see if it can happen. But otherwise, they better look at making a change that way in that period.
The one thing I did notice in this game before we get to Mike Babcock is Babcock himself trying to figure out, again, the CC thing doesn't seem to be working out. Granted, it's still early, but he tried Rasmus Sandin with Rielly. He's tried Barry. If you were the coach, who would you at least give a long shot to here?
I had to reacquire Ron Hainsey.
For $3.5 million,
yeah.
I don't think they
can. Well,
Gord.
You know, but the other part is, like, we can talk about it, but it doesn't really. I mean, I just think you got to try something different. And
yeah.
it's weird that some of the most least predictable pairings can work out, and then you know others that are predictable just don't seem to work out in that. So there's lots of guys out there. Of course, you'll have Travis Dermott coming back, so you got more things that you can do. And maybe it will work out with Cody Ceci, but I think it's at the point now where it's starting to get, it's probably in Morgan Rielly's head a little bit because it hasn't been a vintage start for him.
Yeah, even on the power play, I've noticed as well, it's been a bit of a letdown so far. Granted, again, very, very early. We're going to say that for a while. The Leafs take it 5-2 at Little Caesars Arena. The shot's 41-27. It's always fun when Mike Babcock goes back to Detroit. Excuse me. Here's what he had to say postgame.
Well, I mean, Goat's another year in the league. Shorzy, you know, was a right-hand face-off guy. We didn't have that, and so they're just not in the same situation they were a year ago. I thought Timo had a heck of a game. I mean, was fast, was strong, was physical. You know, the goals and that stuff were bonus, but I thought he played real well.
He's just a product of 3 years in the American Hockey League. Really helps in his maturation, doesn't he?
Well, obviously, it's a real good league, and, you know, it's hard to be good in that league. Some guys that are good in that league it doesn't transfer to the National Hockey League, but the guys who can skate and process information and normal transfers, and you know, in his case, it looks like.
Do you like their response from a work ethic point of view after Boston?
Well, it's, you know, we talked a lot about that, is how hard can we work? And, you know, we thought our work ethic was really good in camp, really good at the start. liked it all the way through. We didn't like it last game, but to me, that's got to be our calling card. If we go to work, our talent will show, and you gotta work the other team. That's the bottom line. I like our consistency and our patience in our game. I mean, when they scored, we didn't get off track. We just played the next shift.
You talked in training camp about wanting to be able to trust your fourth line and your own zone over the ring tonight.
Well, that's what we're hoping and trying to do. And, you know, against good players, Larkin's line was out there. We knew they were coming. We just put them out there. And, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. We're down 1-0 at that point, and you don't know what's going to happen. But if the guys can do it, obviously it's a huge deal for you, and it makes you a way better hockey club and a way deeper, and then you can play Johnny and Matty out in the offensive zone all the time, which is easier on them.
Now, I'll preface by saying it is a holiday weekend. Thanksgiving is here. But Mike Babcock, rather jovial postgame.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if he has his house there anymore, but I mean, his wife, you know, stayed there more often than Toronto. He'd go back quite a bit. He's got kids there in different schools along the way, but you're right about that. And I know we're going to talk about some of the guys he mentioned, but he mentioned the American Hockey League, which I always love the American Hockey League getting props. And I went to a baseball tournament, not this past summer, the summer before. Justin, our son, played in it, and it was in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then this guy tracked me down at the game because he used to be the guy that was president of the Cincinnati Mighty Ducks. And he said, say hello to Mike Babcock.
No way.
So way back when, before he went up with Anaheim, Mike Babcock, you know, 2 years was a head coach in the American Hockey League. So he cut his teeth there, and he's just saying, I like about guys going down, you know, and Trevor Moore is a great example, that they don't do the woe is me, I got screwed thing. They just go down and play better for you. You don't control being called up. If you play better each time you go down, then they really have no choice at some point. And I like what I've seen in the Leaf players about that.
You need a healthy blend of offense sometimes, and certainly the Leafs got it in this one in Detroit. The bottom six guys going to work offensively. Nick Shore, his first NHL goal since 2018. Do you remember the team he scored it with, Gord?
I think it was the Seattle Wanderers.
You are incorrect. The Calgary Flames. Ding, 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 right there.
That was going to be my ninth guess.
Oh, too bad. But Nick Shore, good on him. Right in the slot. Timoshov,
I thought
it was a good game.
I was mixed up with Eddie Shore. Okay.
There's Drew Shore as well, his brother, who played for the Panthers for a couple games. But I thought, again, that fourth line, rather consistent. Nick Shore, Timoshov, safe to say they're going to play again against the Minnesota Wild at home at Scotiabank Arena on Tuesday night. And we'll hear now from the third man on that line. Freddie the Goat Gauthier was outstanding in this one.
We had last game, which just started came out strong and had a good first period and went well. And I think chemistry getting well, getting a goal early. It's always nice, get the legs under you. And then obviously I think the draws went well for me and Scherzi, so we got to start with the puck, so always better than chasing it all night.
Do you think that was one of your better games?
I think we played well. I think I was good on the draw today. I think the wingers were helping. I think overall, our line team, I got his first point, which is great for him. I'm really happy. And then I think Scherzi, I think we played well all together, and the team as well, so it's always nice.
Timo, a lot stronger. I mean, his core strength and what he's able to do along the boards. You saw an awful lot of it with the Marlies. Not surprised with what he's been able to do here with the Leafs?
No, I think he's a smart player. He knows what to do. He knows what to do with the puck. He's got some skills, and he showed him tonight great vision on the goals. And then, I think he's been working his way through, and it's been great for us this year.
You are on the road to 50, of course. How would you describe where your confidence level is at now versus maybe last season even?
Well, I think it's a lot higher than it was. I feel more confident. Feel things are going well. And I guess I was just going to see where it goes.
Is that your first hockey night in Canada, Tal?
I think so, yes. I think I'll keep it. And it was nice. It was a good night overall. The team, we got to win too, so it was nice.
It might not be 50, but do you feel like you can contribute offensively more than you have in the past?
Yeah, I think that was one of my goals this year, to try to contribute more offensively and try to keep stay as good defensively as I was or better. So far as this year, it's been good. I'm just trying to keep going to try to keep contributing offensively.
Mike Gallis worked hard with you. We talked with him when he was in town this past week about the shorter stick and the ability of you, despite your size, to play with the puck in beneath you. When did that start to begin with you, and how noticeable is it from you when you're out there playing?
I worked with Mike a lot of years, and I think it's been great. Every year we try to something new, and I think the stick worked for me well. I think more able to handle the puck a little bit better, and then I got to get in this close area and try to get it in and make some plays. So far I like it, and I'm going to stick with it.
For you, what's the difference working with Shore and Timashov versus Spez and Tan?
I think you just got to talk. I think both, all the guys bring something different, but I think overall, I just got to talk, know where you're on the ice. I think all the guys are smart enough and know where to be. They're all able to be on the league, so I just got to talk a lot and figure out where you are on the ice and you make some plays.
How do you think you've been able to build up some trust with Mike?
Oh, I think like tonight, I think when we win our draws defensively and we get to produce offensively and not get scored against, I think it's always nice to get to a good confidence on for us. And then, I just think if you play well, keep the puck deep, can you offer D? I think it's pretty well.
There you have it. Freddie the Goat Gauthier. What a game for him. Again, scoring one and just doing his thing all in all on that fourth line. And the Maple Leafs fourth line, it's unbelievable to me, even looking back at this game, how much of an impact they had on this one, Court.
Yeah, well, it's interesting hearing Freddie Gauthier. And earlier, Luke Fox mentioned it's his first hockey night in Canada towel. And our guy, J.R. Manitat, who's putting it all today, the jack of all trades, getting it. So, bringing up. So usually when he is or someone who is producing brings up who's available postgame, it's John Tavares, Austin. Like it's the same four, Freddie Anderson, same four guys or same six guys, pick three or four of them every game. So it's neat when those kind of guys like Freddie and others, and the other guys are happy for them. Like all of a sudden, normally you're the ones that people walk by, aren't interested in talking to, kind of like you and I at the dance when we're in the wallflowers in the corner, just waiting for a sign there.
Nobody's coming.
But the other part is, you mentioned they'll play again Tuesday at home against Minnesota, I would assume. And there will be, including yours truly, no Jason Spezza controversy. Right?
Well, until the next game.
Well, I don't, but there's nothing you can say right now about who should be in, who should be out. There's no question. These guys went out, and of all the interchangeable parts, I know Freddie's not one of them. He's permanent. They kicked ass.
It really is a difficult job, honestly, to break down that fourth line debate in this city, because you can have a great game like the Spezza line did 2 games ago and then have a really, really bad game the way we saw against Tampa and then find yourself in the press box right away.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that's the worst thing about playing in a place like Toronto is there's always something. You know what? That's the best thing about playing in a place. People care, have that kind of passion. And it's no longer about who's going to play on the first and second line. Because it used to be, you drafted the Freddie Gauthiers of the world and you go, someone's got to play in the first and second line. Our first round picks keep being third or fourth liners. And then we got a whack of them, a whack of them that could do that. So it's neat, these guys finding their place and finding their roles.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. We're critical of everyone here on Leafs Nation postgame. The Leafs smothering the Red Wings 5-2, improving to 3-2-1 on the season. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Love Tim and Sid?
This here is the Tim and Sid Show.
Well, we've got another way for you to love them.
Sit back, enjoy the show.
Tim and Sid return to the radio Monday, October 14th on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Let's go!
Enraged with the Gardner and DVP closures this Thanksgiving weekend, how about a Leafs victory to soothe the soul? The Leafs take it 5-2, the final in Detroit. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm still upset about the closures, Gord, but this made me feel good, this victory for the Maple Leafs tonight.
Hopefully, driving home, you can take another route. Were you aware of the closures before you came down?
Yes, I was. I used my apps, and it still took an hour and a half.
Jeez. Well, last night, I got to tell you, I was coming back from picking my daughter at Laurier in Waterloo, and it took me forever, too. Traffic doesn't work right now.
We got to suck it up.
Traffic doesn't work. But fortunately, the Toronto Maple Leafs worked tonight in Detroit, and they really did. It was a hardworking, fun, balanced, and unusual, different guys get the goal. So it's a nice night in Leaf Nation tonight, if you're stuck in traffic or not.
And pretty much the perfect game from Mike Babcock. It's time for the VTech call of the game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Back to the blue line. Kept in by Detroit with less than a minute to go in the period. Played into the slot. Red Wings with a shot. Blockered into the corner by Anderson. Kapanen needs to get it out, and he'll do that by getting it high to center. Racing after it. Here's a chance down. They score! Mikheyev! What a burst of speed! Jimmy Howard came out to try and play it, and he got left out there in the middle of nowhere. And the Leafs lead 2-1.
All the soup for him. Had to quote Seinfeld for sure. Ilya Mikheyev just going to work there, Gordo.
Yeah, and, you know, first of all, the part you hear, last minute of play. Now, he didn't say it like Paul Morris, but Joe's just articulating it. And that's what happened against St. Louis. They scored in the last minute against the Leafs. And those goals we talk about all the time.
Backbreakers.
Killers, killers, killers. So the Leafs are the ones that get that. And what the call doesn't do justice to is big save, timely save by Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
And that's what he did tonight, which he hadn't done his last couple of starts. And then we're learning that if you want to be on the Toronto Maple Leafs, actually, if you want to play in the National Hockey League, I don't know when it started that you really got to be able to skate big time. Like the last 7, 8 years, like compared to 15 years ago, Nick, there's no comparison to the volume of guys and what level they have to skate. And yes, so all these new guys, you go, holy crap, they can skate.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You know, he had all that, you know, jets in him that way. And that ended up being the momentum breaker because the Red Wings had got that first goal in 3 minutes into the game. And the Leafs never got momentum till this time, and they never gave it back.
I honestly want to say the Leafs are one of the first teams to start implementing speed up and down the lineup, right? Because you think back to even the Colton Orr era, there was still the wonder of why they have these type of guys on the fourth line. But as they progressed to where we are here in 2019, they went speed heavy, and it seemed to be a trend, obviously, now in the league.
Well, and that's a reason why Matt Martin wasn't a fit here, because yeah. I have all the respect for Matt Martin on the ice and off the ice. And Matt Martin is certainly a fit in the National Hockey League. He's back doing it quite well with the New York Islanders, and for whatever reason just fits in that line with Clutterbuck and Cacikas when they're together. But he was on a fourth line that probably a year or two earlier when the Leafs had very little talent, he would have fit in. Then you kept saying, never mind Mitch Marner, who's not on the fourth line. These fourth line guys just kill it.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Matt Martin, who physical presence was important, but he wasn't able to keep up to the play because most guys wouldn't have been to with the different guys the Leafs are able to throw in there.
You talk about fourth line, certainly a stick tap to the bottom six of the Maple Leafs in this 5-2 win. Who would have thunk it? They score 5 goals. Granted, one was an empty netter via Trevor Moore, all from guys you wouldn't suspect score goals, we'll say. The bottom six, the fourth line, we heard from Frederick Gauthier, had a big-time goal in this one. How about Nick Shore? His first goal since 2018 in the NHL with Calgary way back when, a year and a half ago or so. Gets 1-1 in this game. Let's hear what he had to say post-game.
You see how hard Dimitro worked to get things going for you guys?
Yeah.
What's it like in terms of a motivator on the road at the time of this team really needed some good fortune?
That was great. You know, on that first one, he did a lot of the work, got in there, got on the forecheck. And, you know, we're at our best when we kind of turn pucks over behind their net. So, you know, he played a great game, made it easy on us.
How good did that goal feel considering where you were last year? And, you know, maybe you were wondering if you'd even be back in the NHL at some point.
No, certainly it's, you know, it's always good to see the puck go in the net. But at the same time, I think it was, you know, it was big for our team. You know, we're coming off, you know, a couple games where we didn't play like how we wanted to. So we just wanted to, you know, get off to a good start.
Will you save that puck, though?
I think Timo's got it.
Oh.
Yeah. Why do you think you guys meshed well together?
I think we were just able to, you know, generate some possession going the other way. You know, we start a lot of, you know, shifts in our end, but, you know, we like to be able to drive possession, get it going, and then we were able to make some plays.
What does it mean to you to have the trust, I guess, to go out there against their big guys on the road end and knowing the job is to kind of neutralize them?
That's just what you have to do. You know, everyone on the team has a responsibility. And sometimes for us, it's going to be going out, you know, taking faceoffs in your own end. And like I said, just, you know, trying to generate things going the other way.
How is it difficult to go more or less the one-on, one-off pattern here? And maybe that's not going to be able to run now. The difficulties with that, too.
It's hard, but I mean, at the same time, this team's got a lot of depth, and that's a good thing. So I think, you know, when you're not in, you just work and wait for your opportunities and try to make the most of them when you're in.
What do you like about Freddie Gauthier's play and what makes him effective down low?
Yeah, Goat was great. It's nice being able to have, you know, two centers kind of playing strong side, which is really nice. And, you know, he was able to get a lot of pucks, you know, come into their zone clean, which obviously helps a lot.
Fourth line debate over for at least the next game when the Maple Leafs host the Minnesota Wild coming up on Tuesday night. The fourth line going to work on Saturday night in Detroit, a 5-2 win, including that man Nick Shore comes back from the KHL. To be honest, a lot of people wondered why in the world they went out and signed Nick Shore, but he was really, really solid in this one, 1-1.
Yeah, no, but you're right, to be honest. People did wonder that, but they, you know, say signed a guy like Matt Reed as well, and this is the reality of the National Hockey League nowadays. Yep. As we struggle in the real world with no middle class, right? It's a society. Hockey is mirroring society really in a lot of ways. And all 31 teams will have these guys that did have contracts, decent contracts or whatever, and I'm more talking Matt Reed here, but just and need to find in guys that can make it at a certain price, and that they'll do that every year. They'll do that every year. This could just be a 1 year thing, but it's almost like, you know, Dominic Moore had at the end of his career, and he went around to a few good spots, but that's kind of certain guys will get that niche, and maybe the upside is they're hungry, you know.
Yeah.
They're hungry to play and to play well and to work hard.
Partially off topic, I'm still surprised Brian Boyle doesn't have a job, by the way. Just thinking about some fourth liners out there right now. Brian Boyle still unemployed.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, with Patrick Marleau, it's funny because Patrick Marleau, again, same thing, but you know, against San Jose, I wonder if they were 0-4, if they would have done that or not. But he comes on board. He was kind of a unique case because he only wanted to go to one destination. I wonder, in Brian Boyle's cases, if he's kind of saying, you know, I'll wait, about a quarter of the season will be done, and somebody will need me due to injury or due to the fact, geez, his old New Jersey Devil team or something. I don't know, like just due to the fact that they're not playing very well, and he brings so much character and those intangibles to a team.
Mike Fisher opened up a new can of worms a couple years back. I want to get your thoughts on, we talked about teachers' pets earlier this week, and rightfully so. Ilya Mikheyev comes over for another guy from the KHL. Mike Babcock loves going to Russia in the offseason, just does not like hanging out with Auston Matthews in the offseason, apparently. But you look at Mikheyev and what he's done thus far. My goodness, there's a reason why they like this kid a lot.
Yeah, no, you know, it's always a case. Matt, it was Matt Hunwick, honey. Remember the first year? Matt Hunwick came from, he was one of those guys, and he played more minutes than any Leaf Hondy. It's like life. If you got a boss that likes you, boy, oh boy, it's good to be in both situations so you can understand the contrast and appreciate both, but someone that you won't give you a break, and then someone that you are a pet and can do no wrong. You know, ideally, you like the latter, but with a little bit more context in it or something, because otherwise you're not being prepared in the big, big, mean, ugly world out there. But yeah, Mike Babcock, there's a reason, and I think also there's a reason he talks these guys up too, because they're not making the same money, they don't have the same security. So, you know, just much like, you know, he's made it clear that Jason Spezza in a perfect world isn't his Mikheyev. You know, for whatever reason, does not have the same allure. He's pretty candid about that.
The way he hunted the puck on that goal, by the way, to, you know, not only outlast Jimmy Howard and have the patience of mind to wait and wait and wait, but to use his speed and his determination to beat Madison Bowie, I thought was really, really impressive. Not to mention how the play was formulated by just a simple alley-oop pass by Kasperi Kapanen. So 1-1 for number 65, Ilya Mikheyev in this one. Let's hear what he had to say after this one.
The lob play and what you saw, was that a planned play for you, Ilya?
I saw that Kapi did a flip pass, and I just I need moving, and I see puck before me.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that goalie came out?
I think goalies think 50-50, and I have chance, and I did.
It's been a very good start to your NHL career. How happy are you?
I don't think about this. I just work because this is my first NHL season. Other country, other mentality, and old system, a new system for me, and I'm excited, and every time I forget this word. I'm very happy every day when I came in a practice rink or Scotiabank on the game. I just very happy.
How do you find playing Kerfoot and Moore?
We work. We know what we need to doing, and keep going.
Do you think this was your best game as a line?
I don't know. Who can better?
Fascinating night hearing the post-game remarks from guys you don't normally hear from. That was, of course, Ilya Mikheyev. We heard from Frédéric Gauthier, Nick Shore. Just one of those nights, the night off, if you will, for the big guys speaking to the media post-game.
And the goal he got, because we are going to hear from the Leaf goaltender in a second, but I'm trying to think what are comparable plays in professional sports to Jimmy Howard realizing he's messed up. The goaltender charged to a puck, realizing you're not going to get there and you're screwed. I don't know what the basketball version is. I don't know what the baseball. I don't know football. Like I don't know as far as the singular one when a goaltender's committed and he got no chance.
Maybe it's when a runner tags up in baseball and just realizes Puig's got the
one.
Ball and just
sure.
hoses you.
That could be one. That could be one. Yes.
And you're like, oh, I'm DOA on arrival. You know, like I've had that feeling. Not to say I was the fleetest of foot playing baseball in my life, but there were a couple times where I got hosed, and you tip your cap sometimes because you don't think that throw is coming.
Yeah, but that one you get about 3 seconds to think.
Yeah, it's
right?
True.
You tag the base and this one. But anyway, whatever. It's just funny because when you see it,
you want to draw parallels. I gave you a parallel.
Yeah, that's not bad. But just Jimmy Howard knowing in his head, man, Jimmy's down. Jimmy screwed up.
I would have loved Mike there just to hear what he said, because I think you're totally right.
Oh,
like, you have to make that instant reaction to know that, you know, this can go horribly wrong, and it went horribly wrong. And great effort as well, not only to corral that play, but to oust and beat Madison Bowie, and also to slip it in that open net. You would be marveled how many times guys missed that open net. So Ilya Mikheyev had himself a night. Meantime, we talked earlier, and again, a 5-2 win for the Maple Leafs in Detroit. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Selick here on Leafs Nation postgame. Frederik Andersen, the importance of bouncing back after whatever that was against Tampa Bay Lightning, although we're not pinning all the blame on him. He struggled. The entire team struggled in that dismantling loss to the division rival Lightning, but certainly a bounce back game from this man, Frederik Andersen.
Gave you an indication, however, that your teammates were ready to rally and get back into this game and take it the way they did?
Yeah, of course. When they strike first early on, that's... It's a good thing we could keep going. I think that was the sign we were looking for, and just to shake it off and keep going and get back to playing our hockey.
It seemed like the quote unquote bottom six spent most of the night in the offensive zone of the fair system.
Yeah, I think we were able to sustain some good shifts down there, some good heavy shifts, and wear their D down a little bit. And I thought we did a good job of shooting the puck and getting the puck back once we did. And I think the more time like that we can put wear and tear on their lines and keep them in, especially in the second period. I thought we did a good job of that.
We're difficult for a goalie to go after at least puck like that, how we did with McCann in that race.
Yeah, it's tough, especially going out that way. I think when you're in a little bit of no man's land, but to his credit, I think Mickey was coming really hard, really fast. And I don't know if he was expecting that down there, but a really good player to get to that puck first, and obviously a huge goal.
Feel good to see a guy like Jake Muzzin rewarded, given how hard he worked in front of you tonight.
Yeah, of course. I think he always puts his work boots on, and obviously a little offensive contribution here for him today, and obviously a really nice pass by Timmy. I think it was a nice little give and go, but he plays hard, and we can put help out offensively as well.
What do you see on the man at the breakaway in the second?
Just trying to stay calm and stay in my squared up, I guess.
Yeah.
Goalie lingo, but just try to be patient and make sure that he'd have to make a nice move to beat me, and obviously he shot it, so I was able to stay on top of the puck.
Freddie, it's only two games on the road. Is there a comfort level for this hockey club on the road in terms of banding together and producing the way you did in Columbus and here tonight in Detroit?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've done a good job so far, and I don't know if it's anything to do with being home or away, but I think these two games we played, played really good structure. Worked really hard at the small things and try to work the other team. So hopefully we can keep that going and make it as hard as to play against us at home.
All right, there you have it, Frederik Andersen, and presumably we'll see both netminders coming up in the next couple games, because another back-to-back for the Maple Leafs Tuesday and Wednesday. On Tuesday, they host the Minnesota Wild. You can catch the pregame, Leafs Nation pregame, at 6:30 right here on Sportsnet 590, the Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. And on Wednesday, they're in Washington to take on the Capitals. When would you start Frederik Andersen, Gord?
Well, apparently Babcock starts him the first game, so that's what he did the other time. So, yeah, I would give the hometown fan something. But Hutchinson, the one positive, the other game against Tampa Bay, he played okay in relief for a little bit. So he got a few shots there.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Frederik Andersen got the hook 7-on-28, yes. So I guess Hutchinson getting his reps in. Gord, why don't we take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard where we wrap things up for this 5-2 win for the Maple Leafs here on this Saturday night, 3-2-1 on the season now in the first six games. The Edmonton Oilers or the Carolina Hurricanes, who are you a bigger believer in right now, Gord?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you something. I'm a bigger believer in the Edmonton Oilers in that Carolina Hurricanes, to me, are a better team, but I'm not one that said it's a five-year plan in Edmonton. You've got Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid,
gotta
man.
Go for it.
You got any kind of goaltending, any kind of goaltending, you're fine. So anyway, I'm sort of bigger on them at Edmonton. Surprise Tampa Bay, though, just beats the Leafs and lose to the Ottawa Senators tonight. So
yeah,
good on Nikita Zaitsev and Ron Hainsey and Connor Brown and DJ Smith and Tyler Ennis getting a big W and helping their old team out.
You got your fix in some other winners on Saturday. Again, the Oilers, Tampa falling to Ottawa. The LA Kings scoring 7 goals in their home opener, 7-4 the final against Nashville. Boston shutting out the New Jersey Devils. Montreal also winning. The Islanders winning a shootout for their first win. The Blue Jackets beating Carolina, their first loss in the season. And Winnipeg 3-2 in OT over the Chicago Blackhawks. And also a special thank you to our man JR. He brought it tonight.
Absolutely. JR Manitat.
There you go. That scored
Justin Ryan.
I'm Nick Alberga. Any last thoughts scored?
Just a great road game. Babs is happy. The Trenchman came through. It's all joy in Leaf Nation tonight. Enjoy and a very happy Thanksgiving would be our last thought on behalf of all of us.
Very well said. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.